I'll begin reading in verse 22 of the 37th Psalm. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and leadeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. The proverb is in Proverbs 20 and 29 that a young man, he glories in his strength and his stamina, but an old man, he glories in his gray hair. The reason is because that gray hair is an indication that he has lived a while and he has learned some things. As I began to study this message, and of course as we reflect back on the State of the Union Address, I wonder what Jesus would say concerning the state of the church. If he were to address us, our king, our president, the one who's in charge and head of this church, I really wonder what he would say about the condition of his cause and his kingdom. I believe through the years we have done some things wrong. I believe through the years we could have done some things better than what we have done. I know he cares for his church, and that's clearly taught when we study the seven churches of Asia. He was concerned about each one of those particular churches. He was not only concerned, but he advised them, he corrected them, he reproved them, he instructed them on what they needed to do to be all that they should be for him. The Lord still wants to instruct us. He still wants to direct us. He still wants to help us. And if you read the seven churches of Asia, he tried to instruct the churches and help the churches through their pastor. The letter was written and it was given to the pastor, and the pastor was to deliver that unto the churches. Now, obviously, I don't have the age and the experience of Solomon. You know, Solomon came to some rightful conclusions. God gave him wisdom. And I believe that most of the wisdom that we have among us in the church and among our people, I believe the righteous seed has the wisdom of God, and it's not theirs, but it is much like Solomon's wisdom. It came from him. If I have any wisdom this morning, it came from the same God that gave wisdom unto Solomon. Now, Solomon, he reached some logical conclusions, having lived his life and having the divine wisdom of God. He said in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 8, that vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. He went on and said, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought out to find acceptable words, and that which was written, that which was upright, even the words of truth. Listen, most of your life is filled with vanity. And yet he reached this in conclusion, the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 13, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Listen, friend, most of your life is lived in vain except for those parts of your life that you live for the Lord. I believe that we should give service unto God. And when we do render service unto God, there is a spiritual and eternal gratification associated with devoting ourselves unto the Lord. In other words, I'm trying to say it quite simply, you will not experience the true fulfillment of life until you get yourself in the center of God's will. So my advice and my admonishment this morning, the title of the message is that I was young and now I'm old. And as the psalmist said, there are some things that he had seen and experienced and enjoyed and learned, and he was trying to pass those on. I want to pass on just a few things this morning. Obviously, my wisdom's not as Solomon's, but I have learned a few things. Now, this message was actually launched through an article that I tried to write this past week entitled Ministerial Lessons. And I sat down and I actually was trying to assess the circumstances and the situation with respect to preachers and pastors and evangelists. I was trying to assess various situations that have developed, and two particular areas that I put great emphasis on in that article and stress. For those of you that are younger, it's like a blog, an article. But I put emphasis and stress upon ministerial education and ministerial support. Two areas over the last 50 years of which I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ has failed to rise to the occasion and do what the Scriptures teach. In the 9th chapter of Corinthians, the Bible clearly says, God has ordained. Everybody say ordained. Now that's pretty strong, isn't it? God has ordained that those that preach the gospel should live the gospel. Now he was talking about how they should live their lives monetarily. That's the context. That they should fund and support and sustain their family and their lives by preaching the gospel. That's what it says. It says God has ordained it. Now let me say just a word or two about ministerial education. I won't spend a lot of time here. But I believe that we have let down and we have failed in the support and in the encouragement of ministerial education. The Bible clearly teaches us that we are to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. We need ministers to stand in the pulpit and rightly divide the Word of God. I wish we had our own seminaries and our own theological institutions. I wish we had theological institutions that were sound. Like Dr. B.H. Carroll said, it is a sad day when ministers of the gospel have to grind their theological swords on a Philistine stone. Listen, education does not hurt us. It has always helped us. Always. And I believe that if a man is not willing to surrender and commit his life into the service of the Lord to where he gives of his life in educating himself. Now, I'm not opposed to self-education. I believe in self-education, but I am convinced that in most cases, it does not work. If you preach the gospel and be an effective evangelist or an effective pastor, you're going to have to sit at the feet of someone. Amen? I'm not saying that that must be a theological institution, but you'll have to sit at the feet of someone. I thank God for those men who taught me and helped me. Let's say you go to get some kind of surgical procedure. Let's say you're going to have a heart operation. You go in for your consult. You sit down next to the doctor. Doctor says, well, I've been out building me a deck, building decks for people. That's what I really do for a living. I don't operate on hearts for a living. I just do this on the side. Really, don't have any education in doing this. I just like to piddle with it. I think that's a good term. Piddle with it. I like to piddle with it. It's not the most supreme thing or the most important thing in my life to do heart operations. I just like to do heart operations. I think I'm pretty good at it. I think I've got a gift for it or a knack for it. Let me just open up your heart and work on it. You guys be running for the hills. Listen, if you get a hold of a bad physician, it will destroy your health. You get a hold of an uneducated, bad financial advisor, and he might destroy your wealth. And I'll tell you something, you get a hold of a bad preacher, and it can destroy you spiritually. When we're dealing with spiritual things, we need to know what we're dealing with. When we're dealing with the Word of God, We need to know the Word of God. It should be the most important thing and the supreme thing. Since I was young and now I'm old, I was called to preach when I was a teenager. And one of the first things I did was I began to seek after and search for the truth. Actually, I began to study the Word of God, which is the first book I ever read in my life, from cover to cover. I began to search the Word of God and pray and call on the Lord. And I said, Lord, show me your truth. And I was so convicted and so committed to that, I reached a place to where I said, if my parents don't have the truth, if the church that I'm attending doesn't preach the truth, help me to find the truth, put me in the truth, help me to preach the truth and practice the truth. And I'll tell you something, I was committed in the search of the truth, in doctrinal truth, that if the church I was a member of didn't preach and practice the truth, I was going to move on. And I didn't care what their name was on the door or the name was on the marquee, I was going to find a place that preached and practiced the truth. And after the end of the, at the end of that search, let me tell you my conclusion. At an old age, I am convinced that the Missionary Baptist Church is a church that is the closest to the truth that you can find out there in the world. Amen. There's a lot of people, like Jesus said in Mark 7 and 13, they have made the Word of God of none effect by their traditions. And there's a lot of things we need to work on. And we can. There's a lot of things that we can improve. And there's a lot of truths that we hold way too loosely. Amen. Let me get an amen. And we need to improve upon those areas. But as far as I am concerned, I am convinced that churches like this one, they are the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. And I'm glad to be a member of Victory Church. Amen. I'm convinced that we here at this place, we have our eschatology rights. We have our soteriology rights. We've got those things right with regard to the end and the beginning of our salvation. I believe that people must be born again in the Spirit of God. This church believes that too. It's right in its salvation. It's right in its ordinances. Yeah. It's right in its understanding of the Word of God being an authority over us. It understands law and grace as the Scriptures teach. Yeah, it has the right approach to the Bible and has accurate articles of faith. I also believe that a true church of Jesus Christ will have the presence of the Holy Ghost. That little band of people back there in the book of Acts, when Jesus left them, He told them, He promised them. He said, I go away. He said, but if I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. And the Holy Ghost fell upon the church. And the Holy Ghost is still with the church today. And if you find a sound church, it not only will be a doctrinally sound church, but it will be a spiritually sound church. Yeah, you got to have both. We as a church of the true and living God, the only way we can shake this world is by the Holy Ghost. So that's one theological conclusion that I've reached, that I'm in a church that is doctrinally and theologically sound. And if it wasn't a doctrinally sound church, I'd move on. You might say this is an ecumenical lesson if you want to. But I believe if you go to a sound church, Jesus will be the head of the church. I mean, it won't have some association or some convention or some separate entity telling it what to do. It'll be finding out from the Lord Jesus Christ what it needs to do. Jesus will be the head. It'll be the building. The Holy Ghost will be there. We're a true body of Jesus Christ. I also believe that the gates of hell will not prevail against the true church of Jesus Christ and never has prevailed against the true church of Jesus Christ. I believe the true church of Jesus Christ went through the wilderness. Amen. I believe that the true church of Jesus Christ has never been part of the Catholic Church. Amen. We are not Protestants. Amen. I don't believe the true church of Jesus Christ died out and was reborn, all that mess. Amen. There is a inseparable chain that links the true church of Jesus Christ that's in the world today with that church that was established by the Lord Himself. He promised He would be with it till the end, and He's going to be with it till the end. And if you're part of a church that came out of the Catholic movement, you're not part of the true church. He promised He would be with His church, and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, and it hasn't happened, and it will not happen. Amen. Not only have I learned a few theological lessons and ecumenical lessons, but some spiritual lessons as well. I believe in the direction and guidance of the Lord. I believe the children of the Lord are led of the Lord. He says in this reading lesson that I read in your hearing that they are led of the Lord. And people, for me, that is paramount. It's monumental. Brother Perry told me years ago, he said, one of the best lessons any Christian can ever learn is to be able to get an answer from the Lord concerning the monumental decisions that you make in life. Man, if you've not developed a maturity in your Christian walk where you've gotten to that point, you need to work on it. That's paramount. You remember David in the book of Samuel, like in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 9, where he inquired of the Lord, should I go up? Should I do this? Listen, we need to get back to some of the old sound practices of the Bible. David said, Lord, if you don't tell me to go up, I'm not going to do a thing. And there's many times when we don't know what to do. We need to just do nothing. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, David inquired of the Lord. In 1 Samuel 23 and 2, David inquired of the Lord. In 1 Samuel 23 and 4, David inquired of the Lord. In 1 Samuel 30 and 7 and 8, David inquired of the Lord. There's some things that you need to inquire of the Lord about. You need to find out who you need to marry. Let me, if you come into my office, there's this plaque on my wall. The number one thing to the happiness of life outside of the Lord is to marry the right person. Man, you marry the wrong person, you're allowed to end up in misery. I believe that, you know, there's a clear cut contrast between the righteous and the wicked. The psalmist in the 37th Psalm, and that's where I'll be reading this morning, Psalms 37. He began to describe some of these clear contrasts. And as he was going through, he said, now, I'm not just speaking these things by the Holy Ghost. And I believe all of the Word of God is divinely inspired of the Holy Ghost. But he was also speaking experimentally, personally. He had experienced these things. He had seen these things in life. For me as a father, that my children be somewhere where there was a lighthouse, where there was a place that preached the truth, where there was a group of people that were Spirit-filled, where the wisdom of God was being declared and lived and experienced in people's lives, where the Word of God was not only being declared and preached, but people were living it and practicing it. It's good to be in a place where there is a sound church. Benefits your family. Benefits your life. You need to ask the Lord where to attend college. Consult the Lord. Do like David. Inquire of the Lord, as David did. And David said, do I need to go up? And he never went up unless the Lord responded and answered and told him to go up. And that's how he was successful in life. If you don't ask of the Lord, you'll learn the lesson the hard way. Some of y'all know about that, right? Haven't you learned a few of those the hard way? David did too. Remember the one time he censored the people of Israel? The one time he didn't consult the Lord, and he went out and censored the people, and a great plague came upon Israel. Another story for another time. But if you don't know what to do, don't do anything until you get an answer from the Lord. I've also had a few experimental lessons. Now that I'm older, I am more convinced than ever before that God is always faithful to His people. Amen. That's what the psalmist was saying. God's going to be faithful to you. No matter how bleak it is, God is always faithful. If you live for Him, if you lean on Him, if you work for Him, He will demonstrate His faithful to you, His faithfulness to you over and over and over again. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He'll even do more than that. He'll be there for you. He will help you. He will comfort you. He will see you through difficult times. He will give you abilities beyond your imagination. Actually, Paul said in Ephesians 3 and 20, what was he said? He said unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think by his Spirit that worketh in you. Amen. Wow. Let me close with a few biblical and practical lessons I've learned. His word is true. If no one else believes it and practices it, you believe it. You practice it. It's the only way we know how to live a quiet and peaceful life. But if you don't do it, it won't help you. If you don't apply it, we can't just be hearers of the word. We must be doers of the word. Now, the Bible has hundreds of thousands of practical proverbial lessons. But you have to read them. You have to apply them to your life. There's teachings in the Bible on how to have a successful and good marriage. There's lessons in the Bible on love and how to raise your children. There's biblical lessons on how to build a Christian home. There's instruction on how to reach the lost and face your enemies, deal with your employer, interact with your neighbor or your brother or sister in Christ, how to be a member of the Lord's church. In other words, in the Bible, it tells us how to act and react to every circumstance that we face in life. Like in Proverbs 15 and 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. Proverbs 22 and 7, the borrower is a servant to the lender. You want to get your finances in shape? Do what the Bible says. This country is a slave to the other countries that lend to it. Do you believe the Word of God? That's just what it says. And if you go in debt, you are a slave to those who you borrow from. Proverbs 22 and 7. Listen, we just ought to do what the Bible says. We ought to always pray. Jesus said that men ought to always pray and faint not. We ought to always love. We ought to always rejoice. We ought to always be ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth in us with meekness and fear. We ought to always give thanks unto the Lord for His bounty toward us. Listen, when we do that, the Bible says, Jesus said that your angel does always behold the face of the Father on your behalf. If you'll do that, the Bible clearly tells us that we will be blessed, that He will help us with our sufferings and with our difficulties. He'll help us with all the difficulties that we face. But we need to be long-suffering. We need to do those things that the Bible teaches. Listen, there's times in your life where you need to do what the Bible says and walk away. not react, not respond. Jesus clearly taught us how to handle those situations. He said, turn the other cheek. The Bible says over and over again, the Old Testament and the New, that vengeance is the Lord's. I will repay. In other words, in those circumstances and situations, it would be better for you emotionally, spiritually, and physically to just simply walk away from them, turn them over to the Lord, and let the Lord handle them. That's what the Bible tells us to do. It'll save you a lot of frustration if you'll do that. In other words, allow the Scripture to be your standard for life. Let it have authority over your life. As far as I'm concerned, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Somebody, you know, when I pastored that first church, when they said that I needed to get a job, they were basically saying that God couldn't do what He ordained to do. I just refuse to believe God's word not to be true. I refuse to believe that God's word is not true. I refuse that. God's word is true. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? There are several things in the Word of God that we need to apply to our lives. You know, the people of the world say, don't tell your children no, that it might stifle their creative ability and all this. But there are a lot of passages of Scripture that we need to apply to our life. God has said, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Listen, we need to, when God says no, we ought to listen to Him. When it comes to drinking alcohol and things like that, there are some things God says no. There are certain conditions about how you dress. Listen, we are bought with a price, and we are not our own. No man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. We are the Lord's. The Bible is given for to light our steps and to illuminate our path. In closing, there are people that you'll have to deal with that will be inconsiderate, illogical, and self-centered, but love them anyway. Jesus did. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish alternative motives. But do good anyway. If you're successful, you'll win false friends and true enemies. But be successful anyway. Honesty and frankness may make you vulnerable, but be honest anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow, but do good anyway. The biggest people with the biggest ideas many times are shot down by the mental midgets in the church, but think big anyway. What you may spend a lifetime building may be destroyed, but build anyway. I think we ought to be intense about the work of the Lord. Jesus was. I'll tell you how intense He was. He said, if your right hand offend you, cut it off. And I said, well, preacher, what does that mean? Well, it means if your right hand offend you, cut it off. And I said, well, preacher, what does that mean? It means if your right hand offend you, cut it off. Listen, there are things we need to cut ourselves from. It is hindering us from being in the center of God's will, and you need to separate yourself from it. If there's things that are alienate you from the power of God and the presence of God, you need to remove those things from your life. You want to be in the center of God's will, you need to pray more. You need to serve more. You need to listen to more gospel music than rock music. You need to develop good Christian friends. You need to study your Bible more. You need to go to church more. You need to do more witnessing and love people more. You need to talk of the goodness of God more. In Psalm 71 and 14, it talks about how that there's a hope continually with the people of God. And he says, I will praise you more and more. Hope more. Believe more. Praise more. And you'll get closer to God and more in his will. Things the Lord will do for you, he will, Psalms 19 and 10. More are to be desired are these things than gold, yea, much gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. In Psalms 115 and 4, it says, the Lord will increase you more and more. In Proverbs 4 and 18, it tells us that you'll shine brighter more and more unto that perfect day. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1, it tells us that we will experience the blessings of God more abundantly, more and more. Why? Because we know the Lord Jesus Christ provided these things for us, and that he will not fail us. He will give us more grace if we need it. Like it says in James 4 and 6, the Lord will give us more grace. I tell you, if there's ever been a time God's people needed mercy and grace, it's now. And we need to get in the center of God's will. We need to get in the channel of his grace, and he will bless us. In closing, these practical lessons of life that I've learned is this. People die. The older you get, the more you realize that this life is short. There is a brevity to life. Amen? I'm closer now to death than I was yesterday. I'm closer to the end. The end comes to all people. And listen, you need to be ready. I don't know what universe you're living on, but people on this universe, they die. Death is no respecter of persons. The young die. The middle-aged die. Older people die. The most important thing for you is to be ready for the eternal things of God. Listen, if you have never made your calling and election sure, it'll be the best thing you ever did in your life. Preparing for eternal things. I'm glad I'm ready. I've seen people who were in the gall of bitterness. I've seen people whose lives were a mess, and they would come to the Lord, and the Lord would save them and fix them and change them and rearrange their lives and rearrange their marriages and rearrange their families, and they became a blessing not only here, but I believe they're going to be a blessing throughout the eons of eternity. And he wants to do that for you. Get a song there and let's sing. Get congregation stand. I appreciate you listening to me. You've not begun to live till you live for the Lord. I've seen people living out there in the world. Listen, they don't have the advantage over us. We're living the good life. Amen. Here's where the blessings are. They're in Christ Jesus. It is the abundant life. Now listen. If you want those spiritual blessings, if you want to know them for yourself, if you want to experience them in your own home, in your own life, you're going to have to come to Jesus. You need to repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get saved. Find the Lord. Join His church. Follow the Lord in baptism. Live for the Lord. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And when He calls, you can answer. Amen? Yeah. When the call comes for us to go to heaven, you're ready. You're ready. I want to say to this church, try to maintain a full-time pastor. Even after I'm gone and years go down the road, try to maintain a full-time pastor. Now, if you get down to 9 members, then you can't afford it anymore. It only takes 9 tithing members to support a pastor full time. 9. That's all it takes. So if you get down to 9, I understand. Probably the Lord will understand if you get down to less than 9 members. But try, listen, I didn't ordain it this way, God did. You know? And we stand back and we say, why isn't God blessing us? And He's looking at us and saying, why aren't you doing what I told you to do? It has done more harm. You know, I thought about it. What would have happened? I mean, we've got some people that are brilliant. I mean, they're extremely intelligent. You know, I'm not that bright, okay? You guys know how I started. I couldn't even read when I started preaching. I couldn't even read the Bible. I couldn't read, period. But we've got men that enter the ministry that are already college educated. They have great knowledge, great understanding. They have a great handle of things. Just imagine if they were able to contribute their lives to the devotion of the Lord, the kind of books that have been written, the amount of people that have been saved, the kind of development and growth that we might have had in our churches if they would have been able to give themselves wholly to their ministry. There's no telling what kind of condition we would be in. We've been a lot better condition than what we're in right now. I'm convinced of that. But they're having to juggle family and work and, you know, unnecessarily. As far as I'm concerned, it's unnecessarily. But if they would have been able to contribute their entire lives, writing articles, writing books, studying the Word of God, feeding the flock of God, visiting people, witnessing to people, developing various, you know, things that God puts on their hearts to do, there's no telling. We would be in a lot better shape than what we're in right now. Amen. I'm convinced of that. And that's going in my memoirs. Victory Church, we're blessed. We're very blessed. I'm very blessed. I appreciate all that people have given. I appreciate their generosity. But this is a blessed church. It really is. Try to maintain that blessing. All right. We appreciate our visitors. God bless you. Come back. Listen, I think you found it. If you come here long enough, you'll see that you found it. You found what you've been looking for. If you'll just keep coming, you'll experience it. Brother Chad, give thanks to the Lord, please.